All right, can we just rise to our feet quickly? Let's do something. All right, the Lord is good.
All the time.
I said the Lord is good.
All the time.
Now, don't forget, life is a battle of what?
Words.
I didn't hear you well.
Words.
And what temptations are in life are usually, all right, targeted at making us say the things that we are not supposed to say. You remember when Job was going to be tempted, the focus was on what? Let us hear what he will say. And when we were talking about the success of Job in those trials, it was that in all of these, Job did not sin with his mouth. And very important for us to bear that in mind. Life is a battle of what?
Words.
You know, recently you heard of, before we drove it away, Ebola virus, right? Trying the gates of Nigeria. You understand my point? That there are many ways to respond. You're like, hey, we are dead, though. Hey, we need to eventually get here. Hey, you know, how many of us are in the family? If Ebola killed half, how many will remain? You understand? The way I would say, okpe, thank you, say more, because the more you say in my favor, the more I'm empowered. Do you understand? But if everybody is saying that, for where no evil will befall me, no plague will come near my dwelling, you declare things like that, the Ebola starts drawing back. Like, these are dangerous people. These are the kind of people that when you try to infect, they will infect you. You will now die. You understand my point? And it will just start moving back. You understand? Life is a battle of what?
Words.
Life is a battle of words. The Lord Jesus was saying something. He said, when you see all these things happen, they will happen. He said, you, straighten up, look up, for your redemption draws near. Never look at things happening outside as a sign of calamity coming to you. Even if you find calamity coming outside, know one thing for certain, your own redemption is drawing close. Your own time of change, your own time of transformation is drawing closer. Life is a battle of words. Satan was never, ever, ever win the battle in that area. If you win that battle in that area, you've won it entirely. If you, under the trials of life, Satan cannot convince you to say anything against yourself. He can't convince you to say anything against your God. He can't convince you to say anything against your destiny. He will always lose. He will always lose. Take it from me. Satan, in fact, even if God wants a man to die, a Christian, he has to convince him to agree to die. It sounds funny, all right? Even if life, everything, Satan wants somebody to die now. Even Satan, he has to convince the person to agree. And sometimes that's what pain is like. Pain will torment the fellow until he says, I am tired. Let me go. You understand what I'm trying to say? Jesus had to say it, into your hands I commit my spirit. Then he gave up the ghost. Even though he had suffered so much, you understand? As long as his wits were about him, as long as he wanted to live, he was not going to die. That's a matter of fact. Remember, life is a battle of what?
Words.
Life is a battle of what?
Words.
One more time, life is a battle of what?
Words.
And you must win it.
Amen.
Do you understand my point? And you see, you're not just saying things, you know? I was saying something on Saturday that I was listening to Ken Hagin a message, and he said that faith is a concomitant of knowledge. I heard him say it again. As knowledge comes into the heart, faith just unconsciously enters into the heart. Now, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth does what? Speaks. So when we say you must win it there, it's when you fill your heart with truth. It's when you fill your heart with the word of God, that is how you win it. It's not that you leave the plan and say, I must win it. I must win it. Yes, it's good. That's a starting point. The real winning is when you fill your heart with something, you understand, that is real, which is the word of God. Many people are losing battles in life because they are fighting with weapons that are not potent. Desire is not a primary weapon. Do you hear what I say?
Yes,
what did I say?
Desire is not a primary weapon.
No, it's not. It's not just I want it. So you hear people praying all the time. I hear it. This year is my year of breakthrough. They heard it in church. It's there all over the airwaves. Okay? That's not it's a good thing to say. I'm not saying it's bad. But that's not the potent thing to say. By the time you are saying it, you must understand, it must be based upon knowledge. There must be a reason that you discovered from the word of God that this is my year of breakthrough. You get my point?
Yes.
That's how, listen, this is how it is. The sword of the Spirit is what? The word of God. It's not just anyhow words. It has to be the word of God. Otherwise, it does not work in the realm of the Spirit in your favor. It can work against you. You know, I like that America, is it Miranda rights, they call it. It's based on spiritual things. He said, you have the right to remain silent. Now, in spiritual things, you may have the right to remain silent, but you had better not remain silent. But is anything you say can be used how?
Against you.
One point of that is that if it's not the word of God, it's not potent. It can only work against you. You know my point? If you say negative things, good. Contradicting the word of God is not, of course, working against you. But if you say positive things, but they are not in line with the word of God, it's still not working in your favor. That's what I'm going to emphasize when I say that. For it to work in your favor, it must be what? The word of God. The weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh. They are mighty through whom? Through God. It's when it works through God that it works in putting down strongholds. Don't ever forget that. That's what life is about. We are fighting every day. You read of impeachment. There's this impeachment fever that's all over the place. You hear all kinds of things. Male suicide bombers, female suicide bombers, airplane. Okay, none has been shot down in recent times. After the one vanished, all of these things are meant to scare you. That's what I'm trying to emphasize. You know, the news media, you know, there are more good things happening than those bad things. But good news doesn't sell apart from people like you. And people like you are not the normal people. So they have to tell you the bad things. Yeah, that one young boy fell off the bridge and entered into the lagoon and died. 1 million young boys passed that bridge, did not fall, and did not die. Then your son that has been passing the bridge for a long time said, hey, Junior, when you are passing, oh, please don't fall down and die. You understand my point? Hey. Listen, I'm going to say that the life seems that it's the... Anyway, that's what it's called, the world. It's engineered to win your... No, to win your... What am I trying to use now? To win your... That is, win your words. So that your words will work on their side. But you must never allow that to happen. You must never allow that to happen. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
All right, the Lord is good. The Lord is good. So that's why we are standing up. That's why I said, let's start with it. Let's declare it again. Say, in the name of Jesus Christ...
In the name.
I am above alone, and I am not beneath. Say it,
in the name of Jesus.
1,000 may fall by my side, and 10,000 at my right hand. None will come near me. In the name of Jesus Christ. Say it again. I am protected.
I am defended.
The angels of the Lord, they encamp around me
and deliver me.
Say, as the mountains surround Jerusalem,
so does the Lord surround his people.
Therefore, I declare,
I am surrounded
and I am delivered.
From all evil, I am delivered.
From all plagues, I am delivered.
From Ebola virus, I am delivered.
Declare like you believe it,
no evil shall befall me.
No plague will come near my dwelling.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Say it, I am above alone.
Because I have been bought by his blood.
I have been washed by that blood.
And I am seated in heavenly places.
With Christ Jesus.
Far above principalities and powers.
And every name that is named.
Therefore Satan is under me.
All his works are under me.
Say the prince of this world.
He is under me.
Because I am in Christ Jesus.
Declare like you believe and say, I am in Christ.
I am in Christ.
I am in Christ.
I am in Christ.
My life is not my own.
My life is not my own.
My life is the life of Christ.
My life is the life of
say,
Christ.
Christ is in me.
Christ is in me.
Say, even though the body was subject to death because of sin,
yet that spirit of Christ
that is in me
is giving life to my mortal body.
Say, they say, in me,
life is walking.
Don't ever forget it. Don't ever forget it.
Don't ever forget it.
Say it again. Say, in me,
life is walking.
Life is walking.
Life is walking.
Say, life is walking.
Say, like you believe it, life is walking.
Life is walking.
Listen, you know, it took a process from the time that God gave a promise to Abraham, all right, for Sarah to receive the capacity to conceive. All that period, you know what was happening? Life was walking. Are you getting my point? Life was what? Was walking. Life was walking. Oftentimes, it's a process. And that's the mistake people make. I was listening to one man minister on the healing power. You know, he was teaching a Bible class on, I don't have his name off here. Not somebody I know much, but I was listening to him. I said that anytime the healing, the power of God is ministered to people, all right, the power of God actually enters the place. But many times people don't take advantage of it. They don't activate it. They don't let it work. And that's one of the things I've come to understand. No, it's not every time that God works miracles. There are miracles. All right? But if you read that 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it said there are diversities of manifestations. All of them the same God. There is a working of miracles. And it said there are gifts of healings. And I learned this when I was in university those days. There is a difference between a miracle and a healing. Healing oftentimes is a process. A miracle can just, because you can have miracles outside, there's no healing of the weather. You get my point? You just stop the wind, you know, stuff like that. But that when it comes to the human body, there can be miracles and there can be healings. A miracle is usually instantaneous, but oftentimes the healing is gradual. The healing is gradual. That's why there are gifts of healings. That is, there are different manifestations. Sometimes it is gradual. And one of the things I've come to understand about Christianity is that the power of God is real, all right? And like that man was saying, that message I was listening to yesterday, he said that once the healing power of God is ministered, it is there and it is working. Now, let me say something to you. Faith must work with patience. What is patience? Patience is faith extended over a period of time. Patience is when you refuse to give up on your faith. Patience is when you just say, no, I have believed the word of God and I will stick with that word until the manifestation comes. Oftentimes, people draw back, and when the soul draws back, God has no pleasure in that person anymore. And the Bible says this is how you inherit the promises. It is through what? Faith and patience. Say, be followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Why is patience necessary? Patience is necessary because the working of faith might be gradual. Abraham gets a promise today. And for the next 10 years, Isaac doesn't show up. For the next 15 years, Isaac does not show up. For the next 20 years, Isaac doesn't show up. It takes 25 years for Isaac to show up. If Abraham turned back on the 20th year, you would never have seen Isaac. And you would have said that the word of God did not work. The fact is that the word of God was working, but it was a process. The word of God was working, and it was a process. And that's why I said, be followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. And that's what I want Christians to understand. In your life, life is working. In your finances, life is working. What is life? It is the grace, the power, all right? The working, the mighty power of God that certain things are right in your system. That is what life is. That's a matter of fact. Life is working, you know? You must understand what death is. Death is a process. In fact, there's one of the things I learned when I was a student, this is the first, second year. Somebody quoted it for us. That somebody said that the moment you are born, you start dying. You understand my point? That this is how doctors look at it. Physiology, you know, pathology, everything that is. The moment the child is born, he or she starts dying. That the process, you know, starts. If one of the things we teach students, some of those things you teach, if you don't know which one is a lie, which one is the truth. You just say everything. That's how it is in the book. Thank God I'm a Christian. You know? If you are not a Christian, my God, you are confused. Honestly, especially when you learn a lot of science, and you know, like we do at work. All right? They'll tell you that if you find cancer in somebody today, the theory is that it's been growing for the last, let's just say on the average, all right? It's been growing for the last 10 years. You're just seeing it for the first time today. There are so much, of course, there are so many more things to say about it, all right? That's been there for a very long time. I know sometimes, if I say this one, it's about a lot of people. They say, okay, go and catch cancer very early. If you catch it very, very early. So that's the theory behind screening for cancer. But they now found out that a lot of the cancers you catch early, it's a problem you are causing. Because if you catch it early, you have to treat it. And the argument now is that the treatment overall, you know, because for you to catch it early, you have to screen maybe 100,000 people, as an example. For you to catch, no, it's not easy. It's not easy work. It's not easy work. You understand my point? Let's say, okay, there's a particular cancer in one particular organ, all right, and you find it maybe 50 times in a population, in a year, in a population of maybe 2 million people. For you to find it very early, you have to screen the 2 million people. So go through 2 million people to find 50 cancers that's going to come out in 10 years' time. It's not easy work. I can remember, okay, let's even say 10 years' time. So you are going to find like 500, all right? Now, but they are finding out something. That instead of finding 500, you like to find like 2,000, of which 1,500 was not planning to cause a problem. You have to treat all the 2,000 you find. So you don't even know which one you should have treated, which one you should not have treated. Okay, let us assume the 2,000 that you found that never came down, It never became a serious problem. What happened? I'm going somewhere, all right? Now, it is thought that a lot of those people, the people who win the battle, I don't know what I get to say. Like, the thing was trying to rev his head, and the man was fighting back.
It was trying to rev his head, and the man was fighting back. After a while, he won the battle. Therefore, you never saw the cancer. But if he had caught it very, very early, you would not have been able to predict that he was going to win the battle. So you give him the same treatment, and thereby cause him more problems because he was trying to win the battle. Thorough confusion. Anytime I'm teaching my students, you know what I listen to them? I say, oh boys, oh girls, that's why I go to church. I said, that's why I go to church. That's why I'm saying this. So you see, life is a battle, and I keep on saying. And you see, you have to keep winning your battles. So this is what happens. I'm talking about where I started from. So they say, okay, the cancer started like 10 years ago. So death, that's what I'm going to. Death walks gradually. Death walks gradually. Death walks gradually until it wins and it finally kills the person. Maybe like 20 years after it began. From the time the thing shows up, with the treatments, with the everything, finally he dies 10 years after he shows up for the first time, but he's been grown up for 10 years before that. But this is what I want Christians to understand. That is the law of death. What did I call it? That is the law and the power of death. This is what Christians must understand. In your life, you know what is happening? Life is working. So there are two things. One, all the things that are hiding, that are planning to show up later, you will win the battle.
Amen.
That's not even correct. You have won the battle.
Amen.
Because life is what? It's working. Say, life is working in me.
Life is working
in me.
Life is working.
Say like you believe it. Life is working in me.
Life is working
from the top of my head,
to
the soles of my feet.
Life is working in me.
Say it again. From the top of my head,
to the soles of my feet.
Life is working in me.
Say
it's killing every cancer cell.
It's killing every cancer cell.
That's it. It's working.
It's working.
Listen, sometimes the thing has even shown up. It's already manifested, the problem. But I'm saying to you again, life is also working. It is what?
Walking.
Life is what?
Walking.
Therefore, declare, say, life is working in me.
Life is working.
It's healing every disease.
It's healing every disease.
That's one thing I confess all the time. You know, something happened this morning in my house. I was doing exercise with my children. And everybody bent down, touch your toes. And I was quite impressed with myself that I could touch toes more than children that were like three, you know, five, six. I said, life is walking in my back. and I've been saying something for a very long time. There are people I hear, they say, okay, you know, because I'm older now, my back. I said, lie. Old age is not a disease. I'm not going to say this when I'm 70 years old. I start saying it now. Old age is not a disease. Age is allowed to do only one thing for me. Make me wise.
Yeah.
Say to yourself, say age.
It's
allowed to do only one thing.
For me.
Make me wise.
Say,
age is not a disease.
Age is not a disease.
Say, the older I get,
the wiser I become.
The more I remember. Say, my strength
is maintained
in the vigor of youth
all
the days of my life.
In the name of Jesus.
Because life is working in me. And you are not the first. We have testimonies, full ground. Moses was 120 years old. His eyes did not become dim, and his strength did not abate. At the age of 85, Caleb went to Joshua and said, listen, 45 years ago, we had a discussion. Now, I just noticed that as my strength was that time, so it is today. For going out, all right, for going to war. Therefore, give me the marching order. Let me go and take that which Moses promised to me. You know, yesterday my mother told me something. You know, yesterday my mother turned 75, all right? And, you know, she's in Enugu visiting us, all right? So we had a small birthday party for her in the evening in the house. The earlier in the day, we went somewhere and we were in the car. Was it earlier in the day or the day before that? And now we're talking. We're not saying that my mother doesn't drive. I mean, she used to drive those days. Like I tell my wife that one day she just woke up and decided she's not driving again. So right now she doesn't drive. She used to drive when we were children. And then Back home, they don't have taxis like this. You either go by a bus or you take a bike. And I had wonder against biking. That I said, it's not the will of God. She wouldn't hear. So I said, and they don't have keke, you know, keke napep. They don't have. So either you take a bus or you take a bike. She now said that, no, that's, of course. A lot of times, getting a bus from where she is to where she's going is not. So like, a lot of times my sister will drop her in church and then she will walk back home. I said, what did you say? She said, yes, I just walk back home. In my mind, all right, that's not bad. But my mind was rejoicing, praise the Lord. I'm talking 3 kilometers. No, it's not like just walk down. I mean, I'm calculating it's at least 3 kilometers. 75 said, no, I'll just drop her to church. When she's through, she just look. I said, I beg, let me just take a stroll back home. And she walked back home. I said, praise the Lord. The Lord is good. I keep walking. Keep walking. She didn't know I was rejoicing inside me. Yes, you should walk back home. I mean, why not? I was saying, no, you know, at my age, I can't walk. No, why shouldn't you? I mean, my wife was there one day, the proprietress of the school I attended, the nursery school I attended, not university I attended, nursery school. One day, my wife and I went to visit her. That was about 2 years ago. That woman could not be, I mean, her age now, she's much older than my mother. So she'd probably be in her, you know, late 80s, that about. I met her there. Cleaning her house, you know, cleaning, dusting everywhere. And say, okay, thank you, how are you? You have come, oh, my dear, you know. You are a very elderly person with grit. She was there cleaning the house. I said, nobody else around? Oh, he said, no, that she's all alone. So I got back home. I asked my mother, said she's living alone. Why is the woman living alone? He said, well, her children said she should come over. Of course, you can imagine the children are all over. Now, it's grandchildren we're talking about now. The woman said, no, she likes her house. She's not going anywhere. So she cleans her house, but my mother was telling me yesterday that sometimes she'll have food prepared to go, for them to go and greet. And that the woman just, the children, they don't talk tired. But you know, at that age, they know they hear again. The woman is, that is, why I tell the story is that, my wife remembers one day, she was cleaning the house all by herself. Listen, old age is not a disease. Oh, don't, you see, it's when you start giving excuses that this thing will not stay with you. Say, you know, at my age, you know, you have back problem, back pain. You say, you know, it's my age. There are things you don't hear me say. I will react to backache the way a young person will react. Why is my back aching? Maybe I slept wrongly. I will get up and stretch it. If after 2 days you don't go out, I'll apply the proper treatment, the word of God. In the name of Jesus, back, hear ye the word of God. But you know, when you make an excuse for it, to just stay, excuses for Satan. He said, you know, I'm already approaching 50-something, so as at my age, you know, your back starts aching. Backache will say, yes, thank you, sir. I actually like you. You know, it's people like you I like. You are very reasonable. You are reasonable. You are very reasonable. And he stays there. And he starts asking his friends, this guy is nice, come. So when you see one trouble passing one day, where are you going? They cast you out of the eye. This guy is a nice guy. Come, jump into his eyes. Then the spirit will jump into the eyes. And they say, what's happening? My eyes been paining for some day. I don't even see very clearly. They say, they go and see one doctor who will tell you the general satanic lie is your age. And they say, yes, it's true. You know, that was how my back started then. And they were arguing with me. I told them it's age. And it's just there. We are managing ourselves. And they say, okay. So the eye stays. Say, man, when they go back home, they are talking to each other. The spirit in the back and the one in the eye say, over how far? I say, man, this place is comfortable. This man doesn't trouble anybody. He understands it's his age. He said, let's make him forget a few things. So there was a spirit of dementia passing one day. Oh boy, did they cast you? I said, now, so this guy, where are they hibernate inside? They go crusade. One hot man of God just drive me, come on. They almost came that day. So what do we do? He said, come on, stay here. He's a nice guy. He has space. Then you come and meet the man one day. He said, where do you keep your shoes? My shoes, they are at the door. He guessed they didn't see the shoes. Now his grandson took the shoes in the typical childish behavior. I thought I kept it here. You know, I'm beginning to forget. He now finds the shoe beside his bed. Oh, I must have removed it when I entered the room last night. And I forgot. You know, my age. I'm beginning to forget things. The spirit of dementia will say, you guys were right. This guy is nice. It's my age. I'm, you know, Look, who has never forgotten something? The most forgetful human beings are children. You know, I mean, you tell a child, please go up here. In fact, I have to shout to my children. Look, I said, go straight to the room because they are going. If Tom and Jerry does something on the road, the distraction makes them forget instantly. And I said, what did you say? They can't remember again. Why? Tom and Jerry. But they don't believe it's their age. And you don't think it's their age. So you don't make the excuse for them that they are too old. Now that's why they are forgetting. So if I'm 60 and I forget, too bad. I just forgot. Anybody can forget. Even the man who Joseph helped, he forgot. So what's the big deal? In the appropriate time, he remembered. Yes. I will accept that age is making me forget. No. If you accept it, it is to you according to what? Your faith. So the spirit will sit down there and say, turn to the guy in the eye. Oh boy, you guys are enjoying, no? Turn to the one in the back. The guy in the back is now, let me stay here. It is not good for spirit to be alone. Call another spirit. The second part, by the time the man is 70, he can't see, his back is stiff, he has forgotten everybody. Then the doctors will give him a very nice name. He has Alzheimer's disease. I always knew it. I have been forgetting for the last 15 years. It's called cooperating with Satan. Any friend of Satan in the house? No, speak for yourself now. That is just, if you are not a friend of Satan, just leave the matter. Who believes the word of God? Is there a believer in the house?
Yes.
If you are a believer, say amen.
Amen.
This is what the word of God says about age. Age is not a disease.
Amen.
The righteous one will be old and the Bible says will be full of sap.
Amen.
Osteoporosis is not a problem of age. It's a problem of agreeing with Satan. In Jesus' name, your bones will not become weak with age.
Amen.
You are not more predisposed to forgetting because of age.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And I have my reasons. The word of God. He said, no matter how old you are, you will be full of sap.
Amen.
The testimony of Moses will be your own.
Amen.
You will be 120 years old. Your eyes will not become dim. And you will not become weak.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Listen, I told you I saw a man running marathon. And he was about 80 years of age. Can't remember the exact age now. That will be your testimony in Jesus' name.
Amen.
I said that will be your testimony in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Let's declare it again. Say in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Age is only allowed to do one thing for me.
Age is only allowed to do one thing for me.
It makes me wise.
It makes me wise.
It makes me wise.
It makes me wise.
Declare it. It's not a disease.
It's not a disease.
Therefore, it will not make me sick.
Say
it will not make my eyes dim.
It will not make my eyes dim.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
In the name of
my
Jesus.
Bones will not become weak. Say it in my life,
in my life,
in my body,
in my body,
in my system,
in my system.
Life is walking.
Life is walking.
Say it again. Life is walking.
Life is walking.
The Spirit of Christ is walking.
The Spirit of Christ is
that
walking.
Same Spirit,
that same Spirit,
says that same Spirit,
that same Spirit
that raised Jesus from the dead,
that raised Jesus
is walking in me.
Is walking in
say
me.
Life is walking.
Life is walking.
Life is walking.
Life is walking.
Every virus is losing. Because I'm indeed a winner.
Because I'm indeed a winner.
Ebola virus has lost.
Ebola virus has lost.
Flu has lost.
Flu has lost.
Say it, HIV has lost.
HIV has lost.
No matter the name of the virus.
No matter the name of the virus.
Life has overcome it.
Life has overcome it.
And that life is in me.
And that life is in me.
Life is walking in me.
Life is walking in me.
Say it again, life is walking in
life
me.
Life is walking in me.
It's making myself strong.
It's making myself strong.
Able to heal itself.
Able to
overcome every stress. Say my blood pressure. In it.
Life is walking.
Life is walking. Say
I cast my cares
upon the Lord
because
He cares for me.
Therefore,
my blood pressure will not rise. It will remain normal all the days of my life. Because God loves me,
therefore
He has taken away my cares. And also because in me,
life is walking.
It's working in my heart.
My heart is not becoming weak
because of age.
My kidneys,
in them,
life is walking.
In my liver,
life is working.
In my stomach,
life is working.
In my lungs,
life is working.
In my brain,
life is working.
In my muscles,
life is working.
In my teeth,
life is working.
In every part of my body,
life is working.
Just give the Lord thanks. That's good. Just thank Him. Just thank Him your own way. Just say, Lord, I thank you. Say, Lord, I thank you. Lord, I thank you. Say, Lord, I thank you. Just thank Him because life is working in you. Life is working in you. All the diseases of life is a manifestation of death when it's working. But in us as believers in Christ Jesus, life is working. Oh, we should add this one to it. In your business, life is working. Let me say it again. In your business, life is working.
Amen.
In your finances, life is working.
Amen.
In your family, life is working.
Amen.
Between you and your children, life is working.
Amen.
Between you and your wife, life is working.
Amen.
In your business, life is working.
Amen.
In all that you do, life is working.
Amen.
That is why your business may be small now. Hear ye the word of the Lord. It will grow gradually. Then one day it will jump,
amen,
and it will continue to jump,
amen,
because in it life is working,
amen,
in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Every negative challenge, all right, none of them, all of them, there's not one that can prove that life is not working.
Amen.
You may experience a slowdown, don't worry, life is still working.
Amen.
Life will overcome it,
amen,
in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I said life will overcome it,
amen,
in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I say it one more time, life will overcome it.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Say with your own man, say, in my business,
in my business,
life is working.
Life is
say it in my finances,
in my finances,
life is working.
In my career,
in my career,
life is working.
Let me tell you something about Christianity. This is what grace is. Grace is that God will open doors and you will step into it.
Amen.
Human beings, we try to struggle by ourselves to crack the doors open. But that's not how it is with Christianity. Christianity, we learn to do good. We learn to be faithful. We learn to do what is right. For example, if you're a technical person, maybe just as an example now, you're an artist, maybe you're a painter, just to give us an example. You are not going, when you go to work, it is so that you become better. That's the primary thing. Money comes by prayer. What did I say?
Money comes by prayer.
Yes. You cannot give the name of God to a vain thing. Remember we discussed on Saturday. The job is not the source of money. God is the source of money. He only uses that job as the means by which He passes it through. So when you go there, what you do is to fine-tune the way you work. Remember what we said? That a man said, I was listening to a man preaching. Just summarize many things we have taught before. He said, the greatest reward for a man's toil is not what he gets for it, but what he becomes by it. One of the things you become as you walk in life is become skilled. Are you getting my point?
Yes,
if you are still at the same level in your work as you were, all right? 8 years ago, even if they paid you 10 billion naira since, you have not prospered much. The sign that you are doing well is not that you have made money. The sign that you are doing well is that you are better in what you are doing than you used to be 8 years ago. That's the sign that you are doing well. The greatest reward for a man's toil is not what he gets for it, but what he becomes by it. That's why we walk. That's why we walk. We become better every day. We become more faithful. We become more trustworthy. We become more skilled. Then in due season. What did I say?
In due season.
What did I say?
In due season.
In due season, God takes that thing that you have become and pours His grace upon it.
Yeah.
Listen, even though you appear like you are stagnated now financially, don't worry. What did I say?
Don't worry.
Only worry, in quotes, be concerned. If you notice that, oh boy, 5 years ago, the kind of complaints my customers are giving, they are still giving it today. Then you know you need prayer. Now when you go for fasting and deliverance, well, you know what I'm saying, deliverance, real deliverance. It's not your enemies. So. It's you. People blame enemies too much. If your skill has not improved in the last 5 years, you have a problem. You just need to solve it. If your money has improved, don't rejoice. The Bible says when money increases, don't set your mind on it. What you should be concerned about, has my skill improved? People should see you that I've not seen you in 5 years. They say, oh boy, you have changed. Oh girl, you mean you did this job? They look at you and say, are you serious? Say, yes, not me. You did this. I knew you 5 years ago. Even if you are, even financially, you are less than five. Don't worry. Don't worry. Just know you have prospered. Let me say it again. The greatest reward for a man's toil is not what he gets for it, but what he becomes by it. Even though financially it appears like you have not increased much, don't worry. Because actually, life is what?
Working.
Life is what?
Working.
Life is working. Life is working. Declare it again. Say, in my finances,
in my finances,
life is working.
Life is working.
In my business,
in my business,
life is working.
Life is working.
In my skill,
in my skill,
life is working.
Life is working.
In the name of Jesus
in
Christ.
The name of Jesus.
If you believe it, say amen.
Amen.
All right, put your hands together for the Lord Jesus. Let's take our seats. Let's take our seats. All right, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. All right, we have been talking about how to bless your descendants, how to bless your children, how to lay up a blessing for your offspring. We have been talking about that. We have said many things. Don't ever forget it. One, we explained that make sure that the name that they bear, as you are giving them names, make sure that it's prophetic. That is, when you are speaking the name, you are declaring something over their lives. It's very, very good. Don't just name your child after your grandfather or your grandmother. You can give one of those accessory names. You know what they call accessory names? Have you ever been to a naming ceremony where it is Yoruba people that are doing it? The child has like 20 names. Yes, I call most of them accessory names. Because the grandmother will send the name. Check the name, or even if it's an accessory name, it must not be negative. You understand? Uh-huh. So you can take a lot of accessory names, no problem. But the core courses name, you understand my point? The mandatory names must be something you choose by yourself with prayer. All right? And make sure it's prophetic. We also explain the fact that more importantly, that more important than storing up money and investment and houses and stuff like that for your children is to sustain them with a blessing. I said the blessing of God is not just something that comes from God. That is what it is primarily. But the blessing of God is a spiritual substance that God puts in the mouth of covenant parents. And that was why Isaac, when he was going to bless, he blessed Jacob, he said to Esau, I have sustained him with grain and with new wine. And last time when we were praying, please make sure you get the message if you're not here. I explained that this is what's going to happen to your children if you do what is right, all right? You sustain them. Grain refers to basic necessities, and new wine describes luxuries. And none of them will be lacking in the lives of your children. If you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
Without giving Jacob anything, he said to Esau, I have sustained him with grain. I have sustained him with new wine. I've already given him, he said to him, his relatives as his servants. And he will be lord over all of them. And he did this by talking. He did this by saying something. And I emphasize to us, that's what's most important in the lives of our children. We must do that as a habit. You know, this morning my children had a nice time. I just felt like playing with them. I said, okay, everybody, let's come and do our aerobics. So everybody was running up and down. And my mother was looking at what is going on here. No, actually, she was downstairs. She was hearing, hearing grunting from upstairs. After a while, she couldn't take it anymore. She now climbed up like, what is going on? Only to find me and the children, you understand? Doing, okay, bend over 5 times. We bend. You know, of course, the children were getting excited. We spent a lot of time. Everybody was sweating. And when we're through, and I said, yeah, that's good. I said, the Bible says that physical exercise has some profit.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. I said, now let's go into spiritual exercise. So everybody started jogging around, saying, in Jesus' name, I'm a righteous person. In Jesus' name, I'm above alone. I'm not beneath. We did that for a long time. We're going around in circles. In the name of Jesus. When we finished that, everybody got tired. And I sat down and said, okay, now come one by one and collect the blessing for today. And they lined up one by one. From the smallest, in fact, somebody said, hey, you go first, that is smallest. You go, and I will prophesy. No, not a joke. They are used to it. They are used to it. Prophesy over the area. Next, I give each one of next. When we finish, I say, wow, it's been a wonderful morning. Everybody agreed. You understand my point? It's been a wonderful morning. And that's what you're supposed to do. Make it a habit, all right? You know, whichever way, you know, your child comes to you. I do that. These are things that the Lord helped me to understand long ago, before I had any one of them. I understood it long ago. You come to me in the morning, had a good morning, you know, like my daughter is very good with it. She'll just collapse on you, you know, that kind of thing. And I hug you and I tell you a few things. I tell you a few things, you know, and I do it all the time. It is well with you. That's the least you will get from me.
it is well with you. God will bless you. He will sustain you. He will raise you. That's what Isaac said to Esau concerning Jacob. He said, I have sustained him with grain. I have sustained him with new wine. I have made him a master over everybody around him. I have given him his relatives. The people around are servants. I gave them to him. Can you understand what I'm saying? Yeah, he didn't physically give him anything. Let's never forget that. I think it's one of the most important things, all right, that we can do for our children. People make a mistake in thinking that, hey, I'm going to have a child abroad. When I have a child abroad, you have American passport. It doesn't mean anything. Are you getting my point? Many people with American passports and European passports are working for people with a Jekula passport. It doesn't mean anything. I say all the time, nobody knows the passport that Angote has. We know he's a Nigerian. But all countries are willing to dash in citizenship. Okay, are you interested? He'll give you. Just come and build two refineries. The guy is going around everywhere, building cement factories all over the place. Any passport he needs now, just to ask, he will find one clause in the constitution that allows him to collect it. May you prosper in life in Jesus' name.
Amen.
May God bless you so that your presence will be desirable.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
May that spiritual substance in you make you somebody that people want to associate with.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
That's what we need, the spiritual substance, spiritual blessing. Your children, that's what they need, all right? So that's what I've been talking about. Let me see what, how much we can conclude it today. Now, let's just take these two scriptures as our text for today. Once again, we'll read from Genesis chapter 18. And then Psalm 112. This one we have read severally, so I'll just be quick with it. That's Genesis chapter 18. When God was about to leave and they were going to judge Sodom and Gomorrah, the Bible says from verse 16, then the men rose up from there and looked down towards Sodom. And Abraham was walking with them to send them off. The Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham what I am about to do? Since Abraham will surely become a great and mighty nation, and in him all the nations of the earth will be blessed. Verse 19 says, for I have chosen him so that he may command his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing righteousness and justice, so that the Lord may bring upon Abraham what he has spoken about him. Note that verse 19 again. God said, I have a promise concerning Abraham, and this promise involves his descendants, his household after him. And if that promise is going to come to pass, he said Abraham must command his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing righteousness and justice. Those are the conditions attached to the fulfillment of the promise of God. And we know that our promise is that type of Abraham. And I'm saying again, if our descendants will be blessed, it will be because they have also learned to do righteousness and justice. We talked about the fact that what is more important is that the child is born in Zion. Remember that. Let's never forget it. It is important for us to bear in mind, Christianity is not something that you inherit by birth. It's a decision you must make at a particular point in your life. And you must train your children and set them up for making that decision. And most importantly, pray for them. Don't just be praying for the heathen that's far away. The heathen starts in your home. Are you getting my point? Your children were not born again from their mother's womb. They have to make up their minds at one point in life that we will follow the way of our parents, all right, in which that is the way of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you must pray about that. I'm sure you have already learned that prayer. If you didn't pray it before, it's not too late. God knew you were going to pray, so he was waiting for you to pray it. What is the prayer? Say, Lord, all the Judases you need on this earth, send them through North Korea. Now, that's supposed to be a joke. That's the North Korea aspect. If you need a Judas, send him through somewhere else. Not my house. No son of perdition, no daughter of perdition is coming through here. I'm asking you for it so that I can say boldly, all the ones that you gave me, I did not lose any. Very important prayer. Specifically pray it. Say, God, if you want children of ungodliness, I know sometimes you have the unrighteous, you need them for the day of destruction. Good. Go and make them somewhere else. Don't use my house. And I beg you. My name is not Father of Judas. Are you getting my point? And if it sounds like that, I change it quickly. Get me a name like, James and John. What's the name of their father?
Zebedee.
In fact, I said, God, for the period of this prayer, my name is Zebedee. My children will be James and John. I'm not giving birth to any Judas. My name, in fact, no wonder Jesus Christ. Oh, now I have got him. I've got what Jesus was doing. When he saw Peter, he said, you're no longer Simon. You know why? Judas was son of Simon. Hey, to deliver Peter from giving birth to Judas. He said, Peter, come. From now on, say after me. My name is Peter. So in case your name is Simon, quickly say, dear Lord, for the period of this prayer, my name is not Simon. Because you know Judas or the son of Simon. And it's not good. The Lord is good. So you will not give birth to Judas in Jesus' name. Amen. All the spirit of Judas will cast them to North Korea. What's my prayer with North Korea today? Bishop, I don't know. What's my prayer with North Korea? Why? Okay. They still don't believe in God as a nation. That was my reason. Alright? Alright, so the point I'm making is this. It's a prayer we must pray. We will not give birth to any Judas. And you pray that prayer for your children, and that's even before they are born, even after they've been born, alright? You still have to specifically pray that God will give them the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, that the eyes of the understanding will be enlightened. Very, very important, okay? Now, please, one more scripture, Psalm 112. Psalm 112. Now, this is very important. God says, if you want your children to be great on this earth, if you want them to be mighty, to be prosperous, to be rich, to be influential, this is what you must bear in mind. Verse 1 says, how blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who greatly delights in His commandments. It says, His descendants will be mighty on earth. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches are in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. Now, please notice that. He said that if a man desires for his descendants to be mighty, we can decode this from the scriptures, and for his generations after him to be blessed, what he needs to do is observe the scriptures. He said, a blessed man is one who fears the Lord, who greatly, not normally, who does what? Greatly delights in his commandments. He says, such a person is the one who will have his descendants mighty on the earth. And his generation, he said, will be blessed. As a consequence of his the blessing of God upon him, wealth and riches will be in his house for his descendants to inherit. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yes, that's what he was emphasizing. That is, where they are going to get it from is not the fact that the man laid it up. It's the fact that the man made sure that he was upright all the days of his life. And that's what I want to teach, all right, about today. And then I'll close. Now, I said something last time. Let me just pick up from there. And that's the fact that what you do does not only affect you, it affects your generations after you. That's why God, when he was talking about his person, he said that I visit the iniquities of the father on the sons down to the third generation. But let's not stop with that. So people just know, why should God do that? He said, but only if it is righteousness, I extend to the 1,000 generations, you understand? So it's a good God. If you believe that, say amen. Right, but there's a principle to bring out from there. There's a principle. And that's the fact that what you are doing now is affecting your descendants. Very important. The way you live your life. I said something before, that as a parent, you are a doorkeeper. As a parent, you are a doorkeeper. That is, anything that wants to enter your house, no evil spirit can enter your house because your children brought them in. They can knock. The moment you see them, you kick them out. The evil spirit that can stay there is the one you permit. It's the parents that can let evil spirits come into the house, and the spirits will think they have a right. In fact, they will know they have a right to stay. The children, they can't. They can try, but the parents are the ones that have the power. There's a scripture we read a number of times when God was rebuking the children of Israel for the iniquity that they were doing. He said to them that you find out that your daughters have become harlots. He said, but I am not going to judge them for their harlotry. The reason is because they became what they became simply because of what the parents were. It was not the girls themselves that were the problem. God was saying it was what the parents were doing that caused the spirit of harlotry to enter into the children. Let me just read it just so that we'll read it. Hosea chapter 4. Very important we understand this. Because of time, we'll just read a few verses. Let's just start from verse 11. It says, harlotry, wine, and new wine take away the understanding. My people consult their wooden idol, and their diviner's wand informs them. For a spirit of harlotry has led them astray. And this harlotry had to do with worshipping other gods. And they have played the harlot, departing from their God. They offer sacrifices on the tops of the mountains and burn incense on the hills, under oak, poplar, and terebinth, because their shade is pleasant. Notice the next line. It said, therefore, your daughters play the harlot, and your brides commit adultery. He said, I will not punish your daughters when they play the harlot, or your brides when they commit adultery. What is the reason? For the men themselves go apart with harlots and offer sacrifices with temple prostitutes. So the people without understanding are ruined. If you see then, he now talked about the fact that the next line said, though you Israel play the harlot, you see, as a nation, idolatry had come into them. And spiritually, that was what is called harlotry. Are you getting my point? That is what it means to play the harlot spiritually. It's when somebody departs from the true God and follows the way of the world. When somebody departs from following the true God and follows after other gods. Now, the result of it is what I'm talking about actually. The effect is that physical harlotry came amongst the daughters. Even the sons, if you can see it's implied there. Even the young men decided going after temple prostitutes. The issue is this. The real thing started because the parents were idolaters. Please, I want you to get this in mind. Please, take this news to every adult man you see. Every adult woman you see. Sometimes some women don't understand. Somebody, maybe she and her husband, they're having problems at home. Someone now come and say, there is one baba in one corner that can cook a concussion. She doesn't understand that once you step, especially when you're a Christian, listen, you know I say something. If you're a believer, once you leave Egypt, you must do what? You must enter the promised land. Otherwise, you'll perish in the wilderness. If you don't want to believe, just don't believe. You know, once they are preaching the gospel, close your ears. But once you believe, you know, the Israelites that refused to leave Egypt, they may have died, they may not have died, we don't know. But the ones that followed Moses, all of them died in the wilderness because they refused to believe their God so as to enter into the promised land. Very important. So that's why you should take this news to everybody. So maybe such a woman, they say, all these problems you are having, and these are church-going people because of their desire for solution. Because of their desire, look, we have been praying, the prayer hasn't worked. Now, if prayer is not working, go and find out why it's not working. You don't exchange gods because this is your prayer is not working currently. You find out why. But she does not know, so somebody now says, let us go to one Baba. And the Baba gets there. When you see him, you know his home video, real, that is, his face is painted. You know he's not even pretending. You know there are those who pretend. Although just by the way, Sha. A lot of them have worn suits now. So I also have to explain it. I will explain as I'm going on. And they are not deceiving people. But you see people go, they do things like that. As a matter of fact, you know, there are things you don't even know that you have to tell Christians. But they actually, I have heard of it, so I haven't really seen it, but I've heard of it. Christians who actually go and consult, you know, native, what do they call them now? I don't want to use the word native. The Dibias and the Babalawos. Why? They have a problem, they want a solution. Some actually believe so much in it. My son is going to school. They go and collect something and put inside his bag from that Baba. Sometimes it's not the mother, it's the father. Now this is the point. He meant it for good. But what did he do by that? He opened the door for evil spirits. Satan is not nice. So. When Satan comes and says, bow to me, I will give you everything. You know what it means? everything is the reason you will bow. But once your head is down, I put my leg on top of it. You know? When you bow, that's his own. He doesn't like you. Everything he gives has a cost. And Jesus is not paid the cost. Everything God gives has a cost. But Jesus paid that one. Are you getting my point? Anything Satan is giving you, you have to pay yourself. He wants to make you rich. He will collect something that you have to pay now. Ah, come on, he's got to get paid. Somebody has to get paid. As in, Jesus is not paying it. You have to pay it. Now, what happens in that kind of situation? The man goes to go and look for protection, he thinks, for his son who is going to university so that there will be no problem there. At the end of the day, what he does not know is that he has opened the door for evil spirits. And when they enter campus like that, those evil spirits, normally, where they find themselves is in cults. So the one the father puts inside the boy leads the boy into a cult. Listen, that's why. Anyway, when Jesus refused to, you know, there was time Jesus, they caught one young lady in the act of adultery. And they said, what do we do? And you know what he said? You know the rest of the story. Those of you without sin, cast the first stone, and then eventually everybody disappeared, and the lady was set free. But if this is the issue. Why did he do that? He didn't do it just because he was merciful, even though he was merciful. But the one thing I came to understand is that he did it because he was understanding. Why? What happened was that she was under an influence. And that was why he dared the men. That's why he dared the men. If she's the adulteress here, all right, if you guys think she's just an adulteress, cast the stone, then I will know that you guys did not let the spirit into the society. What he was telling there, that you cannot stone a victim when you are the cause. As far as he was concerned, that young lady was a victim. But that day was a turning point. I told the story in Choice's Key to Destiny. All right? That day was a turning point. He had now met her and given her a new direction in life. Now she has to make her choice. Until that point, that young lady had next to no choice to make. And parents do that to their children. They do that. And this one I'm explaining. People go after other gods. What does that do? He opens the door. And evil spirits start following the young men and young women around. They can't, listen, they can't help it. It's not as if you are strong, if you yourself, a time will come, that time will come, in which God says, all right, now, I pulled you down for you to make your own choice. Are you following the way of your father? Or you are going to look and say, this is not the right way to go. But of course, that's not what we're talking about. Now, what we're talking about, we are laying emphasis on the fathers, on the mothers, who are opening unnecessary doors for evil spirits into their homes. And wondering why this boy is driving everybody crazy. Sometimes people think that all this money we are looking for is for them. You know, most of the time it's a lie anyway. Half of the time it is true. Okay. A little less than half of the time it's true. Most of the time it's a lie. The father too wants to enjoy this money. He said, I'm just doing this for my children. Oh, God, why are you spending so much? If you are doing it just for your children, all this money you are just spending, are you not enjoying it? But even if it's for the children, it is important that money is quickly clean. Are you getting my point? It's quickly clean. You can't be a fraud to get money for the children. What are you doing? You're opening an evil door. Those guys are not going to be normal in life. There are people in life, for them to become normal, they must change their, that is, forget their father's house entirely. The man has cursed everything that he left for them. Even redemption, there's restitution. People say restitution. There are people that have to do restitution with their father's property. What I mean is, it's not as if they will just say, I don't want. So what do we do with it? Sell it, give it to the poor. That everything this man touched is tainted. Redemption can't clean it. You know, there are people, places God will say, when you read it, burn everything down. Just burn it down. I believe that anybody listening to this is a true Christian. And if a person is not, please, wherever you are listening to this from, give your life to Christ. But for those who are true believers, it is not just so I assume that the person is not going to shrines. But let me just emphasize, take this message to everybody. You're going to shrine. You are not, with the light of Jesus around, you are opening doors for evil. They will come and build a tabernacle. Let me say something to you again. You know I said something earlier. Eh? I said that a lot of these Babalawos and DBS, they have bought suit. There are plenty. Let me just quickly say this to you. Take this, listen to me carefully. I mean what I'm saying. If you go around looking, now, there are people who do it. They go around looking for prayer. If you go around looking for prayer, you will fall into the hands of one of them. If you go around looking for vision, you are guaranteed, that one is guaranteed. You will. You will fall into the hands of the ones that have one suit. You think you're a Christian. So they say, you know, I told the story of one brother who came to see me here once. You've heard the story before. A politician. God led him. He won an election. Next election, they called him and said, let us go and meet one Baba that the senior politicians use. He said, no, I'm a Christian. They said, all right. They came back one day and said, well, I found a pastor. When he wouldn't agree to follow them to the DBS place, they found a pastor. So he agreed and went to the pastor. When the pastor got there, the pastor first looked at him and said, oh, for all your years in political office, you will pay a tithe. The man first collected the arrears of the tithe. Arrears. He said he didn't have any money. He had to go and borrow money. At the end of the day, I think before that or after that, the Lord appeared to him in a vision. He had a dream. And the Lord told him that do anything you like, you won't win that election. The same God that led him into the first, encounter, the first endeavor, yes. Same God that gave him a vision again in a dream and said to him, this one you will not win. The man he fell into is that one, you know, he's not the true man of God, he's just a joker. When they pray for us, you've been in political office for 4 years. Where is the, all those years, you tithe correctly? No, sir. Go and bring the arrears. God is angry with you. That's why I'm warning Christians. Stop going around to strange places. Listen, before somebody prays for you, know the person first, I beg. A lot of prayer houses, I'm sorry to say it like this, but it's the truth. A lot of prayer houses, and look, especially, you know I've said before, especially when you enter, they start telling you, your uncle. And listen, don't think they will lie in that they will say things that are not accurate. They will be accurate. Your car had an accident 17th of May last year. True or false? True, sir. True, sir. When your wife was crossing the road yesterday, she bought tomato from one girl. That was not too tall, not too short, not too fat, not too slim, not too fair, not too dark. True of us. And you remember when you packed that time for your wife to buy tomato? That girl has an Obanje spirit. Did you eat the tomato? Yes. Ah. 7 days deliverance. Oh, party. Of course, you will believe. Why won't you believe? Because you have never heard of familiar spirits. That, you will believe. You've never heard of familiar spirits. That is why, listen, the first thing that should drive you up and down is the knowledge of God. What did I say? That's what you should seek. Don't seek prayers and visions. If you want prayer, go to your eyes. How do I say it? Go to the people you know. Some of the best people to pray with you are your friends. We have this idea, let the pastor pray. It's good, it's not bad though. Are you getting my point? If you come and should pray with you, I will pray with you. If you're a stranger, I do it reluctantly if I don't know you. Please, I pray for me. I will pray for you. God bless you, keep you, increase you. The kind of things you will have done yourself. But if you really want prayer, it has to be people. Once I want to pray with you, grab somebody that you, your friend that, I mean, you sure from the street, I don't know you. If you told me that Ebola killed all your relatives in Liberia, you know I won't cry. I'm not going to cry because I don't know you. You must understand. You just show up from nowhere. I've never met you. There's nothing. He said, oh, my cousins in Liberia, they are dead. What happened? Ebola. My oh, my, what were they looking for in Liberia? You know, that's the kind of thing that was going through my mind. Why? It's not because I'm wicked. Because you see, I have learned that if I have to cry for 800 people that have been killed by Ebola now, I will die tomorrow myself. So, no, that's how life is. I'm being honest with you. But then, if it's somebody I know, and you say, since yesterday I have not slept because my ankle, nobody has died though, just your ankle that's hurting. What happened? Let me see. Do we provide? You understand? I'm concerned. Why? There's a connection. And the effectual fervent. I told the word effectual fervent. Amplifies the effectual heartfelt prayer of a righteous person, a man of faith, a woman of faith, whose troubles, all right, who your troubles will concern. That one is one that has power. We have this misguided thought that it is Bishop Oyedepo's prayer that has power. It is Pastor Iyadebo's prayer that has power. So people will travel from here to Lagos. Pastor Banky's prayer has power. That one, you know, it's not even true. No, I'm being... Look, you know, it's not humility, it's fact. Your prayer on my own has the same amount of prayer, power. No, I'm telling you, the only reason why my prayer may have power more than yours is because you think so. I don't know where I get my voice. So when you come, you pray for yourself, it didn't work. So you now come, say, Pastor, I say, once he prays, it will work. So you will believe. Your faith is stronger. You understand my point? That's the only reason. If you could muster that same faith in your own prayer, it works. Look, that what I've told you is the truth. The whole truth. And nothing but the truth. Sit down your friend beside you. Once the person is a person that's concerned with the word about the word of God, the two of you join hands. Say, let us pray. What's happening? You know? Oh boy, I don't want to die suddenly, but my heart has not been beating right. Ah, and you're his best friend. Hey, oh boy, if you die suddenly, I will follow you, enter half of the grave. After that, you in a half. Now, after that, I will come out never. But that half is enough. You understand my point? That one is enough. That one is a let us pray. You understand? No, I've had those experiences. I told you once, let me just drop one of these tests when I was in school. A friend of mine went home. In fact, three of them that happened when I was on campus, they're in my head right now. In fact, another one just in my head right now. In fact, you know, they're just examples are just jumping. Once a friend of mine called me at night, said their son was sick. I just pray for the boy over the phone, you know, that kind of thing. And then, they don't see me as, you know, Pastor Banky. These were both the husband and her, the lady that called, they are older than, the lady is just slightly older than me in age, and the husband is slightly older than her, you understand? So, but we're in school together, so he's not a man of God. He's more of Banky, Hafa, you know, that kind of thing. But she just thought that, what do I do? Call Banky, let him pray with you. So I prayed with them on the phone. Then when they dropped the phone, my wife said she didn't know I could pray like that. The kind of agony that gripped me after they dropped the phone. The kind of agony. Why, they are my friends. For certain reasons, I couldn't let anything happen to that boy. So that agony gripped. Ah! My wife said, you were looking at me like, this man prays like this. With this kind of, come, move back home. I cannot, you know. No, you know that any spirit crossing here is injured permanently. But listen, what caused it? They are my close friends. Once a friend of mother's, I was going to tell you, when we were in school, came back from home one day, told me how the whole family has scattered. And we're all students. They're looking for man of God. We're all students. Students. When they finished telling us the matter, I still remember that day very well. Where I remember the building in Hall 2, University of Benin, where I sat, where we met in one room. And I remember because that day I was very ill. The two of them stood up. I couldn't stand. I was that ill. If I was praying, I was almost shivering. I was ill before that point. When they finished telling us everything, I remember my friend, the one that lives in Houston, and he was the one that led the prayer. He just said, we're just thanking God. He made one simple sentence. I still remember very well. You foul spirits disturbing the house of our brother, we command you in the name of Jesus Christ to stop and we cast you out of that house. It wasn't longer than that. When he finished, though, he started giving thanks again. The whole prayer was no more than 15 to 20 minutes. Three boys on campus. The guy went home that weekend. Listen, he got home. Despite the fact that he had prayed, he was shocked. Suddenly, his father woke up. His father senses that had scattered all over the place, rearranged. When he came back, this was just about less than 2 weeks after the prayer. He called us again. So I was like, what is going on? This time around, he opened the drawer, began to bring bottles, you know, bottles of drink, you know, that kind of thing. And meat pie, those days, you know, not now that there's Mr. Biggs, that one. You won't see meat pie. If not, chop puff puff. And buns, nothing for you. The guy went and bought, that time it was Kingsway meat pie. Left University of Benin all the way to Ring Road to go and buy, brought it. And that my friend, the one that says in Houston now, the guy is a comedian. He said, wow, man, we have to be praying for brethren. We have to be praying for brethren. No, the hungriest set of human beings are not refugees. The students. Students are the hungriest set of people I've seen. refugees are used to hunger. You know, they are used to it. You know, they are used to it. But students, they're on this borderline between. They see food regularly, but not regularly enough. So when I'm telling you, and we're just friends. Just friends. I don't want to bore you with many stories. But that is just went to a friend. Why? These are people who, you know, they are the ones that feel your problem. If you are called one big man of God, please pray for me. The Lord bless you. It is well with your family. Yeah. Amen. You sow a seed to connect with the answer. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. What is the point I'm making? Listen, stop going around looking for prayer. That's what I've just said in all of that. I've seen from one prayer house, if you're a prayer house person, you're a problem person. What you don't know, which is what I'm telling you, is that your problems didn't start before those visits. It started after. The first visit was just a normal problem. Once you go once, the thing is cocaine. It's like heroin. The guys know. The money's in the comeback. You know what I said? They know. They have to hook you. You have to become an addict. Addicted to prayer. You know what I'm saying? And you come and say, we haven't seen you for some time. That's why I have come. The guy knows. You see, if you don't come regularly, the spirits will be pursuing you. You see, it's a new bondage. You should know when you have not been set free. Tell people, I know it's not your portion in Jesus' name. And in case you came here, you're like that, I hereby free you by the power of truth in the name of Jesus Christ. Once I saw a man, the way they take you, that man. I said, and you think you're free? Rich man those days, when I was working for 5,000 naira a month, he was driving his car brand new. 5,000 naira a month? Yes, I was a medical doctor, qualified, post NYSC. He bought his car brand new. But where was he sleeping? Inside church. And I was looking at him and saying, and you think you have been set free? Because they told him that witches are after him. So the house he had in Suleri, Bobo Nofi sleep for there. May God deliver you totally in Jesus' name.
Amen.
In fact, you have been delivered already in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's what truth is. Truth sets you free. Listen, we parents, we are doorkeepers. When you are going around looking for prayer from one longo to the other, there's one new longo on my way to work now. Anytime I'm going in the morning, I see cars parked there. I say, this is a prayer house. I saw them clearing. I thought it was a filling station they wanted to build. And they drive past. Bishop, you know it. If you like, say, you don't see her. You don't see the thing. I thought it was finished. The next time I saw, they began to erect tents. Next day, cars were parking in the morning. I said, consultant, he has gone. People now queue every morning to pray. I'm telling you, and I'm not kidding. Most of the people that go around from such places to another, they are inviting problems, they are not solving them. A lot of times, people are consulting traditional, you know, the juju man who has bought a suit. And how you know it's simple. If you get into it, you see the kind of thing they tell you to do. And I've told the true preachers, true Christians, true prophets, true men of God, they pray in the name of Jesus and point to you. Righteousness. Walk in righteousness. Walk in faith. And start pointing fingers all over the place. Don't go around. Listen, when people, you know what they call divination? Divination is one way by which evil spirits enter into people's homes. And many times, people who are doing divination, they think they are doing Christian divination, but it's still divination. You are looking for who will see vision for you. It's divination. Divination always brings evil into a home. Please don't get involved in divination. Be looking around for, you know, the spirits that are people and mortar. You know what I'm saying? And somebody see vision for me. I want to do business. And when we were young that time, my mother said, "One, say, ah, thank God, God has delivered us." I followed my father once or twice for those sessions. No, I followed him. No, I followed him once. Followed my cousin once, to the same woman. When you go there, you will kneel down, you pray. And at the end of the day, she'll give you a vision. I know the interesting part. My mother said something. She said those visions always came to pass. Once they are bad. So there is not one evil vision she saw that did not happen. All the ones of good that she prophesied did not happen. He said one day she came. My mother told me this. Came to my grandfather's house. You understand? So it's like my, you know, my mother's father's house. Came around there and began to prophesy. He talked that she's seen death. Death around the house. Everybody has to fast and pray. Do, ba, ji, me. They did everything to the letter. Then my auntie one day got a chieftaincy title of some sort while doing celebration. Her son drank a bit, stood at the back of her pickup. The driver took a speed break. Boom! The boy went into the air, hit his head on the road and died. My cousin. With all the prayer they prayed, he said, all the prophecies of victory, not one came to pass. My father wanted to do business one day. I follow him. I was a small boy, very small, but I did hear well. How did they forget? I told him everything. The man was looking for a breakthrough. By the time the woman was through with her prophesying, she said, no, breakdown is what is coming. You that went there, you have faith in them. And I'm telling you. After some time, my brother said, one day the woman saw her on the road. Ah, she doesn't see them again. My mother said, ah, so you understand now. Thank God for the light of Jesus. Jesus has delivered her. And the man who delivered her from there, he didn't used to see visions. He just used to teach the truth. I've told you some of the story about the man before. Powerful man of God. All he used to do was teach the truth. That was the first place I started hearing solid word as a little boy. We used to go to his house, his sitting room. When the man finishes preaching, you're vibrating. He died a few years ago, but one of the things I remember very well, I'm anointed. You know why? I know. God is good. One day my phone rang. It was that man, that real man of God. As I said, hello, sir. He began to prophesy. Hey, cowboys. I was just packing. I stopped there. I did that amen for like 15 minutes. After that, thanked him, called my wife. I said, listen, I have just been blessed. Collect more. Look, that's the man I told you that. When he was driving on the road, his tire went down. Somebody said, hey, yeah, see your tire. He said, he quickly reasoned and said, no, I don't have a spare. What do I do? So he commanded the tire to get up. The car got up again. Continued driving. He said, that was the day. His secretary was sitting in front of the car. The one to one got down, looked at the tire, knelt down there and gave her life to Christ. I told you the story now. He was going one day. Somebody said, no go better for you. Because he splashed water on somebody. So he stopped and said, I'm very sorry. He said, what do you mean? Useless. After I told him, enough. I'm a man of God. I'm anointed. Nobody talks to me like that. Me? He told the man, I hereby return your curses to you. The man dropped and died. With all of this, not a division. He told the man, I hereby return your curses to you. The man dropped and died. There were two. The second one ran. Ran to the nearby village to go and call people. He's just stood there beside the corpse and beside his car. When they came, they had the nonsense. Everybody prostrated. Okay, Joe. Don't mind, he's an idiot. After they begged him, he went there, put a hand on the man, and commanded him to come back to life. The guy sneezed and woke up. He entered his car and drove away. When he's preaching those days, you almost be trembling. He didn't used to see any how visions. After my friends listened to him small, man, now they abandoned the prophetess. I'm telling you, stop going from house. Look, all those divinations, they create problems, not just for you, but for your children. The Lord is good. I have to finish this next time because there's another part of this I have not gotten into. I'll finish it next time. Let us pray. Let us give you our thanks. Talking about blessing your children. Parents, you are doorkeepers. Be careful what you let into the home. That's what the children need, to have the right spirit inside that home. The spirit of Christ, the spirit of righteousness, the spirit of justice. Just thank the Lord for your children, even though you can't see them physically now. If you have them already, if you don't have them yet, just thank God for them. Say, Lord, I thank you. You are not sending any Judas into my house. All my children, once again, Lord, I ask you, and I have received the answer, and therefore I declare, they will serve the Lord. Declare, say, all my children will serve the Lord. All my children will serve the Lord. Or I will serve the Lord. Make your commitment and say, Lord, I will not let an evil spirit into my home. All the spirits that mutter, that peep and mutter. Say, I will seek only my God. I will never seek the dead on behalf of the living. I refuse to participate in divination. I refuse to go from one prayer house to another looking for visions. But I declare that righteousness is what I will run after. The knowledge of the truth of God. So that a right spirit will be in my home. So that only a right spirit will be in my home. In the name of Jesus. That is my commitment. I declare it again today. And concerning my children, I declare that righteousness is their portion. They all will be born in Zion. All of them will be born in Zion. They will be children that God marks. I said, this one was born in Zion. They will serve God from their youth, all the days of their lives. Lord, those are the kind of children. I want a testimony like Jesus had, that none of the ones you give me will be lost. Lord, let not one be lost. I declare upon every single one of my children, you will know the Lord. Call them by name. You will know the Lord. The spirit of this age will not get you. The spirit of this age will not drag you away. I close every door against the spirit of harlotry. I refuse to participate in the worship of other gods. Therefore, I close the door to the spirit of harlotry. And I declare that they will not get any of my children. Let's just give the Lord thanks. Say, Father, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you. Say, Lord, we thank you. In the name of Jesus Christ. All right, quickly turn to your neighbor. Say, it is well with you in the name of Jesus. Say, you will not go after spirits that people are mortal. But righteousness is your portion. Understanding is your portion. In the name of Jesus Christ. All right, let's share the grace in fellowship. Because of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, surely we have passed out of death, we have passed into life, we have passed out of darkness into the light of Christ, we have passed out from under the curse into the blessing. All things have passed away in our lives. We are now filled with the Spirit of Christ. We live above sin and walk above the devil, because we are seated high above in Christ. This is our season of fruitfulness. In the name of Jesus Christ. One more time. This is my season of fruitfulness. In the name of Jesus. Give it to one neighbor on your side. This is your season of fruitfulness. In the name of